Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well as a watchman and how we all need to be watchmen. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, very familiar passage of scripture to those who have been in church for any time, any length of time. I know this morning we taught in our Sunday morning Sunday school just what is faith promise offering. And we know that chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, Paul's exhortation to the churches to be able to give of offerings for faith promise missions, and what a blessing that is. And so we're going to be reading here in chapter 9, verse 6 down to verse 8. And so if you'll stand with me, I believe this is a message, a passage of scripture God would have us to deal with this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to be reading verse 6 and we'll read down to verse 8. The Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purpose, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you for what we've already experienced in this place. And God, I pray that each one who came through the doors of this church have experienced your presence, and God, that they have been prepared and they have opened up their heart and their mind to receive what you have for them today. I just ask, God, that you would just continue to meet with us and bless during this preaching service. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to draw your attention here to verse 7, where it says, "Every man according as he," every man, "purposeth in his heart." Every man having to purpose in his own heart, so let him give. I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled this morning, if you want a title to it, is "Why I Should Purposely Become a Giver." Why I should purposely become a giver. And in beginning this, can I tell you that giving is of the very nature of Almighty God. Anyone who knows God and knows of His actions and how what He has done for humanity understands that the very nature of God is a giving nature. The most popular verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," that's all humanity, "that He gave." Amen. That He gave. And probably the most precious thing to the heart of Almighty God would have been His only begotten Son. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That would not have taken place. Mankind would not have opportunity to live eternally if it had not been for the nature of God, the loving nature of God that led Him to give of His only begotten Son. Can I tell you that giving is a byproduct of love? It's been said, and you've probably heard this before, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. I want to establish this first of all before we even get going into the message this morning, is understanding that God is love. And a byproduct of God's love is God's giving, His gift. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10, it helps us to understand that all of those that have born of God, all of those that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior should also, if you have received Christ, you have taken on the nature of Christ, which is love, and a byproduct of that love that is within you through the Spirit of God is to give. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent, or if you will, gave his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. Wow. That we might live through him. Herein is love then. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent or gave his Son to be the propitiation, sacrifice to appease God for our sins. Wow, what a powerful thought it is just to understand the very nature of God as love. And if you have that very same nature, and if you're saved here this morning, you have taken on the very nature of God. It's been imputed within you in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is the love of God, and something inside of you that is the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you in your own free will to be a giver. Because it's been going to be associated with that which is in you that comes from God, and that is a love. And one of the byproducts of loving is giving. So God the Son, he was given of God the Father some 2,000 years ago, and he lived on this planet Earth as an example for all believers, which is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about Christ's likeness, and we have the example of Christ given to us, recorded in the Scriptures. So God the Son spent his entire physical life. It was God who was manifested in the flesh. He was 100% God, but he became 100% man, and he was the God-man, the only one. Only begotten means one of a kind. There's never been one before that. There will never be one after that. We find that it was one of a kind. It was God's only begotten, one of a kind Son that came to this earth to give an example of godliness that we are to follow after. And then he laid his life down, revealing the greatest gift of all for humanity, that we might have opportunities by receiving him, believing in him, and receiving a free gift of everlasting life. And not only do we receive the gift of everlasting life, but then we are adopted into the very family of God. So he spent his entire physical life as a man, giving of himself. John chapter 15, and let me just read some of these verses to you. If I go too fast, write the verses down. I want you to know what it's the Bible that's talking to us this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 13, this is what Jesus, in instructing his disciples about love, he says this in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. You give your life. That's associated with love, giving your life for a cause. Giving your life for the cause of God. No greater love, and he associates his gift with love. No greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So I want to ask you the question this morning. Giving is of the very nature of God. It's associated with the love. And if you've been saved, you have it within you, but are you living it? Have you yielded to it? Let me ask you a question this morning that only you can answer. I don't want you to answer me or anyone else, but you know what you are doing in your life and what you're doing with your life. Are you a giver? If you would ask somebody else, maybe your closest friend, could you describe this person? They could describe you. Would one of the things that they would describe you be, he is such a giver. She is such a giver. She is not selfish. She's not thinking about herself. He never thinks about himself. He's always looking to be a help. He's always looking to be a blessing. He's always looking to do something for somebody else. Is that how people around you would describe you? Is that what you think of yourself? Can I tell you, if we can only see ourselves as God would have us to live our lives, and that is a life of giving, it would do so much for us. It would give us more purpose for life. It would bring us even closer to God. It would bring so much more of the blessings of God upon our lives, because we are to be vessels that God uses and empowers us to be able to give out and to accomplish whatever God has us in this world to accomplish. Paul's writing to the churches at Corinth, and he says, you're missing out unless you get a hold of this concept of giving. Especially giving to the cause of Christ. Giving so that the world might hear the gospel. Giving that the world might have established New Testament churches around the world, to where not only can they hear the word and be saved, but they can be taken to these places where God has established for them to be baptized and where they can be discipled and thus go out and do the very same thing. Win others. Establish other churches. Bring them to the church. To see them baptized and discipled. So, are you a giver? Can I tell you again why I should purposely become a giver? The most important reason is because it is God's will for my life. It's the very nature of God, and it's the example set by Jesus Christ for me to live. When you understand that, then giving will produce greater faith. Amen. Back in our text there, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 6, I believe it helps us to understand this. Giving will produce greater faith. In verse 6 it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You're going to see it. It's a principle of God, of sowing and reaping. And you're going to experience this. As you sow sparingly, you're going to see that you will reap somewhat sparingly. But it says, shall reap. And he which soweth bountifully, when you start learning that God blesses a giver, and the blessings far exceed financial gain. It far exceeds anything that this world can give, but it does something that only giving to God can do, and that is to bless us spiritually. And he which soweth bountifully, giving all that there is for him to give, giving all there is for her to give, no matter what it might be, not limited to finances, but giving of yourself, maybe even laying your life down, giving of your life to be a help to somebody else. He which soweth bountifully, that is all that I can give, shall reap also bountifully. So how is that producing greater faith? Well, as we purposely give according to our faith, and can I tell you, it is faith that's going to lead you to give. It's your faith in knowing that there's a God. If there's no God, then what are we doing here? Just playing church? If there is no God, then why even look at the Sunday as the Lord's Day? Can I tell you, we're living in a society today that are raising a generation of young people to believe that there is no God. The fastest growing faith today, the fastest growing religion today, is no belief in God, which is a very sad commentary for the United States of America, which is supposed to be a Christian nation, which was established as a Christian nation and only grew to the powerful nation that we are today because of in God we trust. And now we're passing laws that go opposite the very words of God. It's almost like smacking God in his face and saying, we don't believe in you. There's consequences to that, and I'm fearful of the consequences to that. But when you have faith to believe in God, and then you have faith to understand that God has left for us his word, so that the written down word of God, so that we can know the very thoughts of God, and you have faith to believe in God and faith to understand that it's God's will for us to be givers, as we then give according to our faith, we see God work. as you experience God fulfilling His promises, shall reap. That's what God says. That's what His word says here. Shall reap. It's my promise. If you sow sparingly, you shall reap, but you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, then you shall reap bountifully. So as He's fulfilling His promise associated with His principles of giving, you know what that does? It increases our faith. Wow. It is true. I remember as a 20-year-old when I surrendered my life after a lot of things taking place and God just working in me and my life and realizing that I shouldn't even been able to live past 20 years of age. And yet God was working in my life. And when I surrendered my life to God for whatever His will would be in my life, when I totally had complete faith in God and I wanted to surrender everything that I had to Him, since that time, I have never questioned giving. That's when I was 20 years old. That was almost 40 years ago. For the last 40 years of my life, there has never been a time that I have not tithed. There's never been a time in my last 40 years that I have not thought about and asked and sought God, to, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live my life? Now, can I tell you that I'm still human, and there have been many times in those 40 years that I've had to confess selfishness, and I've had to confess, God, my weakness and my failing to have faith to do all that you would have me to do. But I've never questioned giving. I've never questioned God's principles of giving and receiving. In order for me to receive, I knew that God would have me to give. And the more that I would give according to the will of God, the greater blessings would come into my life. There has never been a greater blessing than surrendering my life to God's will for my life. I could have done a lot of other things, and I was on my career going a different direction. And when I surrendered my life to God, He made it clear to me that He wanted me to be a pastor. He made it clear to me that He wanted me to be everything that I could be to my wife. He made it clear to me when we had children, you need to be everything you can be as a father. And since that time, since I was married, I've been praying, God, help me to be all that I can be as a husband. Since the very first day that we had our children, I've prayed this prayer, God, help me to be all that I can be as a father. Since I became a pastor, I have prayed, my prayer has always been, God, help me to be everything that I can be as a pastor. And understanding that God has other things for me, God, help me to be everything I can be as a servant to my God. That is a regular prayer of mine. And it will continue. Because I know that I'm here. And God has allowed me to be here. To give. I've witnessed God fulfilling His promises. The more I give to my wife, the more I find God giving back to me with our relationship. The more that I give to my children, as being the father that God wants me to be, the more I reap the blessings of Christian children. The more I find myself being all that God would have me to be as a pastor, the more I find the church being a blessing. Amen. Can I tell you that is the principles of sowing and reaping. And God says, it is who I am. It is my very nature. And when you become my child, I put my spirit into your heart. And as you yield to that Holy Spirit that now is sealed within you, you need to yield and become the giver that I want you to be. And when you become the giver that I want you to be, and you look to give all of yourself to me, you will reap bountifully. The most miserable times in my life over the 40 years is when I've become selfish. And sometimes I'm blinded to it until I realize, wait a minute. The reason you don't have the joy, the reason you don't have the peace, the reason that you're not receiving all the bountiful blessings is because there's selfishness in your life. And Satan would love to blind us to that. But when God reveals it to us, and we understand it's there because I've lost my joy, I've lost the peace, I've lost the blessings of God, God help me to know why. And most of the time it goes back to some selfishness in me. And that needs to be confessed and forsaken. We'll continue to battle that selfishness. Why? Because it's part of the old nature. When we get saved, we don't lose the old nature. It's still there. We gain a new nature. And greater is he that is within you with this new nature than he that is in the world. Amen? And when you start yielding to God's will for your life, and you become the giver that God wants you to be, it takes faith to give as God would have you to give, and you become the giver that God wants you to be, it will produce even a greater faith. Yeah, because then you realize, I can't outgive the Lord if I'm giving according to his will. And Luke in chapter 6, a very well-known passage of Scripture, but I want to read it to you. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, again, Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he says this, give. Listen, this is his disciples that he's preparing to take on the church age and to continue the church. And he says to them, you have to learn this. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Shall be promised from God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. Again, oh, when you see that working, you see that principle working, what a blessing it is. It will produce greater faith. Back in our text, though, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, not only is it of God, and not only will it produce a greater faith, it will produce something else. It will produce joy. As our faith increases, giving will become a cheerful blessing. When you understand what's associated with giving unto the Lord, and you have opportunity to do this, the joy of giving becomes a cheerful blessing. That's what he talks about in verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. If you're giving grudgingly, then you have not increased your faith to understand God's principles of giving. Grudgingly is with regret. Let me tell you something. When you give of your offering, say, now there's so many other areas of giving, but let's just say that when you give, when the offering plate comes around and you put that in there, when it starts going away, do you feel like you want to come back? There goes my boat. There goes my motorcycle. There goes whatever it might be. Money for vacation, money for this and money for that. Do you regret giving? Listen to me. If that's true, then you're not giving by faith. You're not understanding that what you're giving is what God would have you to give. And as you give that, then God will give back. And if you don't have that faith to understand that, then it's giving in regret. Grudgingly. When you serve God and you give of your time to serve in the bus ministry, when you're involved in the bus ministry, do you say, I could be out fishing today on Saturday instead of going around and knocking on these doors and visiting these bus children? Your faith is not where it ought to be. You're giving grudgingly when you're teaching that Sunday school class, when you're doing this or doing that, when you're giving of your time and you're giving of your talents, are you begrudging that, thinking I could be doing something? Listen to me. If that is the case, then it's because of your faith. You're not realizing, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the return if I'm doing it for the Lord. When you see that bus kid that you've been working on and giving up your salaries for, come forward and get saved. Amen. And not only that, when you see that bus kid go home and say, "Mom and Dad, I got to tell you something. I got saved today, and I want you to come to church with me, maybe to see me baptized." And they come to church with him to see him baptized, and they hear the gospel, and they come forward, and they get saved. Listen to me. Where did it come from? It came from the sacrifice of that bus worker out there knocking on the door, giving of themselves. And can I tell you, when they reap and they see what they have accomplished, what God has accomplished through them, can't put a price tag on that. That's bountifully. It'll produce joy. Not grudgingly, not with regret, not out of necessity. Because your wife forced you to tithe, you tithe. That's what it's talking about, not out of necessity. If I'm going to get along with her, I better tithe. If I'm going to serve, if I'm going to have a position in the church, I better tithe. If I'm going to be a trustee, one of the qualifications is a tither. If I'm going to be a trustee, I guess I better tithe. Listen to me. If you're only tithing because you're forced to tithe to serve in a position, listen to me. You're not going to be blessed by it. Not out of necessity. Not to please others. Not to get personal recognition. Want everybody to see? I'm tithing. You see this? That's not why we tithe. We don't tithe to be seen of others. We don't tithe because we're forced to tithe. We should not tithe to please others. We ought to tithe because it's God's will. I can't outgive God. So we know that it is pleasing to God. That's where the joy comes from. Faith to know it's God's will, it will produce a greater faith. And now that we have this greater faith, it will produce a joy, because my faith acknowledges to me, it helps me to understand that when I do this, it's not forced. I'm not doing it for my wife. I'm not doing it because of this or that. I'm doing it because it's pleasing to God. And verse 7, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm not giving out of grudgingly or with regret. I'm not giving out of necessity or being forced. I'm giving out of a free will. And as I give out of a free will, God is very pleased. Now, do you know who God is? The creator of all things. Controls life and death. And I have an opportunity to please him. And I know that my life is pleased. How much joy is that going to bring to you? Do you realize the joy that comes from giving your spouse something that they really wanted? Whether it's a birthday present or whether it's a Christmas or whether it's just out of the blue, just appreciation, and you have thought it through and you've given it to them, and you've given it to them as a giver, and you see their response. This is somebody that's my helpmate. This is somebody that I love. And I see the response of something that I was able to give to them. If my wife comes home and I've cleaned the kitchen or I have picked up my dirty clothes, I see the smile thinking, "Whoa, what happened to you?" When you see that you have pleased someone you know, yeah, I did that. Something inside of you says, happy, joy. When you're able to give your children something that you know that they have been wanting, and you told them all along, I doubt if you're going to get it. Close to lying, but you're not lying. I doubt. You know, I didn't tell them they wasn't going to get it. But stop expecting that. You know, that's too much money. That's cost too much to be able to have that. And you know all along that you're going to get it for them, but you don't. And then they open that up, and the joy on their face, what does that do to you? Puts joy in your heart. Amen, it does. Think about pleasing God. If you truly have faith, it will produce joy. Yeah. Lastly, this morning, it is of God's nature. If you're saved, His nature is in you. And it will produce greater faith. It will produce greater joy. And the last thing is, I want you to see here, it will produce contentment. If I'm giving as God would have me to give, and my mindset is to be a giver, it produces contentment. Verse 8, because now I'm pleased to God. So in pleasing God, this is what God can do for you. And God is able. There's nothing that God is not able to do. He's able to do all things. But look what it says. God is able to make all grace abound toward you who have become a giver, who have dedicated your life to pleasing God. All grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, listen to it, all sufficiency, no matter what trial you're going through, no matter what storm, all sufficiency, no matter what it is, God's grace is sufficient. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to continue to do good, to every good work. All grace. God's grace for whatever you need. See, God can provide grace beginning with saving grace. When you know that you're saved, it gives you a peace that passeth all understanding to know, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to go to heaven. I have everlasting, eternal life. That grace allows you to be content even when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, if you have it. I believe God's able to give us dying grace. God's able to give us all grace in every area of life. And if you have God's grace, no matter what area of life you're focused on, with His grace, you'll find contentment. Philippians in chapter 4, and we're done. Philippians in chapter 4. Powerful truth this morning. Philippians chapter 4. To those that were giving, as Paul established giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, now he writes and gives them, this is to the church of Philippi, which had been supporting him, giving to missions, giving as God wanted them to give. And he writes to them saying, because of your giving, you can have this. This is God's grace will be sufficient for you in these areas. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. In whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul's writing to them and says, I've learned this, that God has given me the grace to be content no matter what trial that you're going through. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says to them, he says, I've learned this. This is something you can have. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. A contentment based upon knowing with God's grace, I can. Verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. This is God in glory by Christ Jesus. And he closes it with this, the grace. It's that grace that God gives. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's of God's nature. It's in you if you're saved. If you yield to it, it will produce a greater faith. And with greater faith, it's going to produce joy. And with joy, it's going to produce contentment. How important it is for all of us to purposely make the decision to become givers. I don't know what you're going through right now. Can I get you for just a minute just to stop? Just stop. Whatever's happening in your life, just stop. You're battling cancer. You're battling divorce. You're battling finances. You're battling this. You're battling that. Stop. Focus on what God would have you to do instead of what others can do for you. You're going through that. One of the things that Satan will try to do to you, he'll try to get you to drown in self-pity. He'll try to get you to think that everyone else ought to stop living and focus on you and your need. Selfishness. I don't care what it is. That will not bring to you the grace of God that you have need of. If you will stop and realize God knows what's going on, God knows what I'm going through, God, what would you have me to do? In the middle of my trials, the most important thing for you to learn to do is to be a giver. One of the hardest things that you will do is to be a giver during that time. But the most important thing for you is to look to God and say, God, you have me going through this for a purpose. There's someone who needs what I have to offer. What would you have me to do? Help me to learn right now and help me to dedicate and give myself to giving. It'll change your life. That one thing, that one principle right there, if you will do that, it will change your perspective on life. It will be what you have need of in the midst of any storm. Purposely commit to being a giver. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.